Now, if you have your Bibles, if you could take them and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 16, and as you're turning, if you're able to, stand and honor reading God's Word. I have entitled this, The Wisdom of Impatience. Yeah, The Wisdom of Impatience. Stay with me. You think, there's no wisdom in that. Yeah, we'll see. The Wisdom of Impatience. We'll start reading in verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she said, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hand, under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be numbered for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Be'er Lai Hahiroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 80 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would take this chapter, this portion of Scripture, and I just ask, God, that you bless it to our hearts. I pray that we would see within these verses of the situation that's going on, and that, God, that we would not fall into these kind of situations ourselves, and that we would show some decent wisdom. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Right off, the title says, it's an oxymoron, the wisdom of impatience. Is there wisdom in impatience? Well, sure there is. It's just crummy wisdom, bad wisdom, worldly wisdom, awful wisdom with terrible consequences. And Yet we see what happens when we go this way, and you say, well, I'll never go this way. Well, don't be so sure. Okay? And so I would never do that. Well, we'll talk about it in a second, and you'll see where we're going with it. But, you know, because of this whole situation, the consequences have gone on from generation to generation after generation, millennia after millennia to today. We still deal with the situation of this. And but now if we are to look at the timetable and what is going on, you know, the Lord has been silent to Abram and the others. But you know, we need to be careful when God gets silent. In other words, there's times that I don't know if you've experienced where you may read the scripture or things like this, and it just seems like God is just not talking to you. Well, it doesn't mean that He's not talking to you, because God is always active in our lives, and there are times that He gives us a time that He isn't talking to us. But that is when we need to start exercising our faith and what we do know in God and exercise that. And to be very careful with this. But even with Scripture, the Lord can be silent to us in Scripture. And we can even reason if we mess up, we may even blame God for His, well, you weren't talking to me, God. It's all your fault. But you know, that is so much of us. You know, when we make decisions, and we make decisions on situations that that are hard decisions, and we know what we're doing is not right, we blame other people. You know, well, you know, if you weren't so much like this, then I wouldn't have to do that. What? You know, that's childish. You know, why did you hit your brother? Well, he touched me, or he hit me. You know, or this or that. And y'all understand that, you know, when they're in the car. They touched me, or they pushed me, or they're in my way, or, you know. Well, that doesn't mean as an adult we need to react. Well, I don't like you because you don't like me. What? That's what teenagers do, you know. We don't need to be like that. But crazy as it sounds, though, this story could be as contemporary today as it was then. I mean, the tabloids have got all kinds of dumb stuff like this in it, you know? Might be the headline, couple can't handle children or can't have children, so they hire a surrogate mother. And we've heard the term surrogate. And there's a lot of that that goes on today. But in this time and culture, heirs were very important to a family. And as we've noticed in prior verses, in prior chapters, that Abram was very, very concerned for an heir. I need an heir. I have to have an heir. Who am I supposed to give it to? Eliezer? Do I give it to Lot? And God says, no, I will give you an heir that comes from you. Okay? And so, in Abraham's case, this is very much a spiritual situation. And you say, well, no, it's a physical situation. Well, again, this is where, you know, if you hear anything today, hear this, that so often in our physical situations and the situations that we deal with are spiritual situations. And if we stop looking at things that of the flesh and things like this are not spiritual, then what we do is we go the way of the world and we use their wisdom. And that's why we do the things we do. Well, this isn't spiritual. It's just having a child. You telling me having a child is not spiritual? How many people have said they've dedicated their children to God and then they don't end up going to church? They don't end up reading to their child every night or things like this. Raising children is a very much of a spiritual thing because Those children are, you say, well, they're my children. No, they're God's children. And we are to be good stewards with what is God's. You know, and we have to change our thinking with this. And when we change our thinking and ask the Lord to change our heart, let me tell you something, things go different. All right? Because the results that become, like here, such an entanglement, they're so snarled and so twisted that all kinds of problems have come into the house of Abram and Sarai. But the first thing I want to look at is an impatient believer. We are impatient people. And we are going to look at this impatient believer. And so we see kind of a close parallel of verse 1 and 2 with Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at it. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, if you look over in verse 17 of chapter 3, it says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. And so what Abram had done had hearkened unto the voice of his wife the same way that Adam did to Eve. And so, you know, what is it that's been said about history? If you don't learn from history, you are going to make the same mistakes. Why do you believe today that in many schools they're trying to do is to change history or to rewrite it or make it a little bit different or take people that were evil and show them what they were trying to do was good and things like this. What they were looking at is they're trying to ensure an heir that comes in behind them. And this goes on with this argument about not learning from history. And so, you know, it's like we hear of Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Benito Mussolini. And Adolf Hitler, he was a socialist. Joseph Stalin, he was a communist, and Benito Mussolini was a fascist, okay? And today, they teach socialism and communism as it's a good thing, and it is not a good thing. Whatever you've learned from that, and say, well, there are some good parts of it. No, there's nothing good about it. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Listen, we have history and we have the Word of God that we can go to. And in the New Testament says, well, why do we know so much about these people like Adam and Eve and Abram and Sarai? Why do we know this? So we don't make those kinds of decisions. They're so we can learn from it. But how is it we think we keep doing the same thing the same way and believe it's going to come out different? Because we're smarter than they are? Listen, the problem is it happens time and time and time again. And man, I tell you, I tell people, you know, like Jordan, I'll tell you now, when you start getting questions, right? When you don't know the answer to questions, just write them down in a notebook. And when Graham gets to be a teenager, ask him because he's going to know everything. All right? He will know everything. And you find out the teenagers, they don't know anything until they start realizing they didn't know anything and their mother and father were actually right, you know, even though they don't want to admit that, you know. But the problem here is the culture is in which they came from. They came from Ur of the Chaldees, okay? And this was called the Hurrian culture. Their culture at that time was the wife, if the wife could not bear children, the wife, it was her responsibility to find a concubine and to supply that individual for her husband so that they could have children through her. Now, if the woman did not do this, it may have been a situation where the husband would go out and find a second wife. Now, what they didn't want, what the wives didn't want to do, was to have a second wife. If you have a wife and you have a concubine, she still has control over what's going on within the house. All right? If there's another wife, now there's a problem because you have two wives. And so what they would do, they said, well, it was wise if you would find a concubine and we could have a child through a surrogate mother. And the problem is, that's the world. That's the world. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with adopting, all right? You find children that they need parents, you know, and to adopt a child and bring them into the home. And my father was adopted, you know, and I didn't find out till I was almost 18 years old. I came home and asked my mother, I said, why didn't you ever tell me that Dad was adopted, you know? And she dropped a glass, and how did you find out? And the idea was, well, we weren't sure if you would want to go find your biological grandfather. I went, no. I only know one grandfather. That's Grandpa. That's it. He was my grandfather. I was done with that. All right? And but when I found out, I just like, why didn't you tell me? Well, that was the reason. And I went, okay. And I just went on. He said, well, you were a victim. I'm not a victim. I just found out. They told me. I'm good with it. It should be that easy, right? I'm not a victim, all right? So, Abram follows through with this whole situation. Dumb. Shouldn't have done it. And he did not consider the end. Look in verse 3 and 4. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Well, you know, when we do things like this, you need to consider the end. Now, here's what we do. We have a marvelous way of imagining a situation and how it is going to always come out right. You say, well, I can see where it can come out and we could do this thing. But, you know, we don't think it all the way through. And you got to think all the way through to the end. Not just stop and you say, well, what if? What if there gets to be a problem with this child? What if it gets to be a problem when Hagar says, no, this is my child, not yours? What if these kind of things? What if? What if Abram says, no, let's wait on God? Would things be different today in this world? Yes, it would. It would. But see, we always want to look to what we want and how we imagine how things are going to work out to our favor. And that's not reality. Because people are who they are. They're people. They're fallen beings. And such is the fruit of impatience. This is the kind of stuff that happens when we become impatient. When I tell you, every time I became impatient, it never turned out right. When you were impatient, and you say, nope, we can't wait, let's get it now. Did it always turn out good for you? I know with me it just didn't. And I know better. You know, my wife, what's she know? You know, what's she know? And she would say, don't do it. And I said, no, we can't wait. Because it's something that I wanted. Oh, good grief. When we say, I want, we need to say, I need to slow down. Do I really need what I want, and I want it now? I mean, that's when we start, coveting things, and then it just doesn't turn out. Like that white Ford truck, you know? I mean, when that hood flew up, and I told Mary Rose, don't tell Mom, what do you think she's going to do? She couldn't wait for that truck to stop and get home and run in. Mom, man, that hood flew up. We were doing 65 miles an hour, and Dad was all over the road. Blah, blah. And I wasn't all over the road, but she had to embellish, you know? And she comes out, and what does she say? Told you. No, it works fine. Well, now you got that great big dent in your hood. I can fix that. I never did. Are you kidding me? When it's bent like that, it's bent, you know. I'm dumb. But one of the toughest things for Christian is to maintain. Have you ever made a sacrifice in the energy of the flesh? It appears noble and generous, but I'm going to tell you something. After a while, it becomes a drudgery and even a curse. When we want to look good in front of people, we do something dumb and it turns out bad, and next thing you know, it gets to be hard. Because you don't do sacrifice in the flesh. It must be a spiritual thing. You get it? So you see the impatient believer who gets ahead of everything and uses worldly wisdom, which the culture says it's okay. But listen, there's things in our culture today that I would say Christians should never be a part of. You know? A second thing is an impatient excuse. Oh yeah, the excuses. What's an excuse? It's a lie wrapped in a reason. That's all it is. And so look in verse 5. Look what happens. And Sarai said unto Abram. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go up to verse 2. 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. First thing, what's she do? It's God's fault that I can't. Okay, maybe so. But it doesn't mean it's a curse yet. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay, so whose idea was it? Now they may have talked it over, but she's the one that he hearkened to her. And then in verse 5, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. He should have just said, no way, lady. My wife, I'm not going to do this. You know, but he did. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. You tell me who's right and who's wrong here. You know I'm right and you're wrong. Well, they were both wrong. They both messed up. And I tell you, the first thing that happens is an impatient tongue comes along. And, her thinking, is... I mean, listen, is this not the Sarai who's modest and loving and faithful and submissive? Sarai that said to her husband, Lord? And now she's a resentful, raging, mean, spiteful, tyrannical Sarai. I mean, it's like, what happened? Did she get possessed? No, that has always been there. What are those quoted words of Jeremiah 17:9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I love that part. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not us. You know, one thing, anger can, you know, anger is an honest emotion. Anger is an honest emotion. Say, what do I mean? Well, we are emotional beings. You know, we can love, we can hate, we can be angry, we can be happy, we can be so many things, and so often it's our choice to be so. It really is. It's our choice to be so. But what happens with anger, it opens us up. What do you mean? What do you mean it opens us up? Well, I think I wrote it down here. What does it say? In Matthew 12:34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And man, this stuff is coming out, and you say, well, I really didn't mean it. Yeah, you did. Because that is what came out. And you say, well, I really didn't mean that. Yeah, you did. Just say you're sorry and go on. You're sorry that what you're really sorry about is you let that thing out. And this is where we're impatience and things like this, that when we start, you say, well, I will never pray for patience. Well, I think maybe we should. And you say, but that is just too hard. So you're going to be happy with what comes out of your mouth every time you get angry? You're okay with that? And what it does, the damage that it does, you would rather have impatience and this anger that comes out and then try to walk those things back? That is what you would prefer than having the patience of keeping yourself in check and waiting on God? You don't want that, but you would rather have the other? Is this what you're saying? It is, isn't it? Then pray for patience. Oh, but Pastor, that is hard. Oh, I know what it is. I prayed for patience. Now am I the pinnacle of patience? No. I'm a lot better than I was. I don't break things anymore. Right? How many of you break things when you get impatient and angry? Well, thank you. You got one who's honest. Think two. You know. Man, I broke more stuff in my life because I get angry. And then I go like, why did I do that? And I was like, that was just dumb. You know. Right? No, you agree with me real fast there, don't you? Yeah. But there comes this decision. It says, but Abram, Abram, he makes things worse. Look in verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now, do you blame Hagar for running? No, you can't blame her. But Abram should have never done that. He should have never done that. Because you go from an impatient believer to an impatient excuse and you blame people. And then you do something like this and you start getting the impatient results. Impatient results. And this is messed up. He should have just put his foot down and say, we need to stop. We need to stop right here. We made this decision together. You know, don't be coming at me and blaming me. We did this together. And now this woman over here, you know, she's not a slave, by the way. She's a handmaid. People say, well, she was a slave. No, she's a handmaid. She's not a slave. She went with them. And she got into this situation, this family affair. And he said, well, it's the culture, but that's the world. We're supposed to live above this thing and not have these to be impatient. And again, if you are impatient, if you are patient, praise God. But if you are impatient, this is something you start asking God about. Now, you're going to be going through some tribulations. Well, I don't want that. Are you saying that you have no tribulations now? At least you like to know that God is in charge of this tribulation, wouldn't you? And so if He's putting you through it and you start finding out that this anger and this thing keeps coming up like this, well, now you need to start controlling it. He's allowing these situations to come into your life so you can now practice what you preach. You say, but it's hard. Well, of course it's hard, because it goes against our nature, and these things are godly. All right? And this is when you keep going to God and say, God, I'm losing the bubble on this thing. I am like, God, give me more patience. Every time I said that, Mario would do something worse. Mario. My man Mario. You know, that man dumped 2,000 pounds of jet fuel in Hangar Bay 3 on the USS Ranger, and we had to go to a full general quarters because they were afraid that the ship would blow up. My guy. Who did they call? Me. Oh, Lord, give me patience. No. Every time I got up, I shuddered to get up to see what this man was going to do that day. You know? Oh, my goodness. Another day, we had 5 aircraft in our squadron. And these things have to be 100% mission capable. I hope you understand that. A lot of airplanes can go, and they don't have to be 100% mission capable to do a mission. But not these airplanes. And I'm telling you, in 1 hour, he downed every airplane in our squad. Every one of them. Every one of them. I'll tell you about it. Who did they call? Anchor. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me patience. And it went on and on and on. But you know, in the end, God blessed it. When you start realizing what God's doing in your life, it's good. Is it easy? No, but it's good. Because now you know that God is actually answering your prayers. He is listening to you, okay? Now watch. Hagar flees. Look in verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. Now, where is this? She is on her way going back to Egypt. This is on the outer rim of where Egypt is. She's on her way back to Egypt. Folks, when you do something dumb in the flesh, don't go to the world to try to fix what the world thinking has messed up. All right? She's crying out to God. Look in verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. You know, God, and even the Lord Jesus Christ, He would always ask questions. He would ask you a question. He'd make you have to think and kind of look back inside, okay? And even if He was asked a question, He would not many times answer a question with another question. Well, why do you ask me that question? What is going on within you that you would ask me that? And it makes yourself kind of think of what are we doing in this situation. And so he says, Hagar, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you going there? Well, I'm running from Sarai. I'm running from her. She's mean. Things didn't work out that everybody hoped for. And, okay. Do you see this is the angel of the Lord? This is good. This is good. He says, well, an angel came. No, this is a theophany. This is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Do you know this is the first time in 48 places in Scripture that the angel of the Lord comes. And that's just in the Old Testament that the angel of the Lord comes. First of 48 times. And so here comes the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with her. And she knows of the living God because she has lived in the house of Abram. And Abram would set up these altars and worship God. And so asked her a couple of questions. And, you know, we don't always hear what we want to hear from God, do we? All right? And so in verse 9, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." That is not what she wanted to hear. You want me to go back to her and also just submit to her? Are you? She is so cruel. Just do what I tell you. Do what I tell you to do. You know, listen, how many Christians live duplicitous lives? In other words, how many Christians have two lives? They have the life they live in other Christians, in front of other Christians, other believers, and then they have their life when no one else sees them. All right? And as the Lord deals with Hagar, He deals with us. You know, because what happens is when we start dealing in the flesh, you know what the flesh does? The flesh produces death. Spiritual death. The spirit produces life. And life everlasting and life in abundance. The flesh, the world, produces death. The spirit and the spirit of God produces life, abundant and everlasting. There's no in between. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, is for the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. He's talking about the law. The law. When you get up into the Mosaic law and whatnot, now the law is over 400 years away from Abram. We're over 400 years away from the written law. But it does not mean that there is not a law, because the law has been written within our hearts, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? The law has been written in our hearts, that you know what is right and what is wrong. We have no excuse, according to the book of Romans. We have no excuse. What does the law do? The law shows us, without Jesus Christ, we cannot produce life. The law produces death. And the people says, well, what do you want? We want the law, and we will live by that, Moses. And he goes, okay. And he gives them the first 10 commandments. They're going, whoa. You can't live by that. Exactly. So what does it do? I think it's in the book of Galatians. He calls it schoolmaster, yeah. And what he does, listen, in Jewish life, the idea of this whole thing was children would have these servants who would train a child up to a certain age. I mean, how to dress, how to eat, teach them how to clean themselves, teach them how to speak, teach them manners, teach them these things. And when he got to a certain age, the schoolmaster would, which is the law, would take this child and then take him to the school and drop him off and say, now he's yours. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ, to take him to show them how to live the life in which the law has shown them and directs them to Jesus Christ. That's what the law does. The law killeth. You want to live by the law, you're going to die. There's no life in the law. What it does, it always brings you to the spirit of life in whom Jesus Christ is. Like I said, you got to remember, we're over 400 years away from the law. And how is it that we get We get saved by grace, and then we say, well, you got to live this certain way to please God. Is God not pleased with us because we have repented and received His Son? Is He not pleased with us because we love and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and He lives within us? Yes. We forget that. We forget that He died upon the cross for our sins. When we go to heaven, are we going to be judged for our sins or going to be judged for what we've done for God? What we've done for God. Oh, that's going to be a judge for sin. No. We are given things because of what we've done, because sins are forgotten. My goodness, how many times have you told somebody, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are under the blood, your past, your present, and your future sin? Is that not what we tell them? Then how is He saying you have to live like this to please Him? I'm not saying you go out and live like the devil. That's what they call antinomianism, and give me an hour and I'll bore you to death with that one. But the fact of the matter is, this is why God says you are free. Free from what? The guilt, the punishment, and the power of sin. You're free in Christ. You have liberty. What does that mean? To do anything I want? No, you got liberty with God. You can go to Him anytime you want. Anytime. Nothing is going to stop that. Say, what if I've sinned? Oh, you know in your heart when you've sinned. You know it. He's there. He lives and He goes, psh, psh, psh. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. God, please help me. You know Abram's going, oh, Lord, oh, man, what did I do? I should have just said, no, this has turned out to be real bad. And you know Hagar, she's calling on the name of the Lord. When we walk by the law, my brother, my sister, we produce bad fruit. We do. We walk by the law, it means dependence is on me, not Him. When we walk by the law, we depend on everything on me and nothing on God. Then there enters what is called these, what we call, it's been called the hyphenated sins. Now, I didn't come up with this one. It's called the hyphenated sins. Are you ready for the hyphenated sins? Here they are. You ready? Self-sufficiency, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-reliance, self-created, self-deceived, self-defensive, self-devotion, self-help, self-important, self-ordained, self-reliant, self-satisfied, self-possessed. You want me to go on? You get the idea. It's always about self. Self-righteous. We think, man, I know God loves me because of my faith. Really? How many times has your faith failed and God has had to come along and pick you up in His faith and just carry you along because you're a mess? And yet we just will not admit that. You know why? Because we are self-righteous. We need to get over ourselves and lay ourselves completely before God. Lonely, you lonely? That comes from self-ministry. Oh, I can minister to myself. I'll be fine. I'm so lonely. Shouldn't be. But where are the qualities of joy and trust and confidence and beauty, fulfillment are present? The Holy Spirit is present and He produces life. How is it there's such a perverse feeling in pleasure of feeling sorry for yourself? How is it when we start feeling sorry for ourselves and you make everybody miserable, there's some pleasure in that because you think you're right? James chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, he says, For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. without partiality and without hypocrisy. What is he saying? When you ask the Lord just to take over everything and you lay yourself before him, let me tell you something, you're going to have a joy that you've never had before. Right now, Abram is hating life. You got it? Hagar is hating life. Sarai is hating life. Why? Because they went to the world for wisdom. Because they were impatient. God said, I'll be the one. Don't worry about it. It will come out of, your children will come out of your bowels. Don't worry about it. It's going to be done the way that I want it done. And you know why? You don't get the credit. God gets all the glory. He will not share his glory with anybody, not even you. You can come in and share the glory with him if you're in his presence, and you can glory in him. But we start doing things on our own, man, we just start messing up. Well, you know, if I could just, we start moving this money around here and there, and I'm sure it's important now, just start doing things right. Admit it, you messed up. Guilty. That's another thing. That's another thing what the law does. Always makes you feel guilty. I get tired of feeling guilty. Have you ever gone to a preaching time and the guy made you feel so guilty and it's something you never even done, never even thought about, you feel guilty about it? You should feel guilty. No, I found out when the Lord Jesus Christ deals with me in my heart and I feel guilty, I go to Him. I don't go to some man. I go to Him. He's the one who made me feel that way. Oh, Lord, please lift this from me. It's killing me. But do not naively assume that you can enjoy both. You cannot enjoy the law and the Spirit. You'll be a man most miserable. And you know something? The world of business and politics is all about money. It's not really about people. Not anymore. The status is too often pursued and not dependence upon God. Don't worry about your status. One does right because one is right. Not self-righteous. You're right with God. And you'll do right. Right? If you're right with God, don't you think you'll start thinking right? It's simple. But we make it so hard. And it's called the New Covenant. Well, what's the New Covenant? The Gospel. Jesus Christ. And, man, I tell you, I lived under performance for a long time. And it was just one guilt trip after another until the Lord actually made me free. But just be obedient to Him. It's not always easy because we are people of the flesh. And so He says to her, return and submit. Man, that is not what I wanted to hear. Look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, listen, I will multiply seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered nor for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. In other words, God shall hear because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. She has been calling out to the living God. And he says, and because of that, you'll call his name Ishmael. All right? Now, sometimes there's good news and bad news. Look at verse 11 or 12. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now, this wild man, he's speaking of what these, it's an animal called an onager, a wild onager. Have you ever heard of an onager? An onager is a wild, free-roaming, untamable, it's like an ass, a jackass or a donkey, okay? And you can't tame them. They're just, and they just go all over the place. They're kind of like the Bedouins. The Bedouins, they don't have one spot. They wander, they roam. You can't tame the Bedouins. But our Lord will take our biggest dumb decisions and turn them around to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 13 and 14. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Be'er Le'hairoi. That's a mouthful, man. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Kadesh means sanctuary, and Bered means hail. Not hail, but hail. Sanctuary and hail. So it means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. So not only does he see us, but he also hears us. Let me tell you something, Christian. God hears you and sees you because he lives within you. And if you're not saved today, you have not repented of your sins and asked the Lord into your life, he does not live within you. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he wants you to be free from this world. And he'll give you that power if you just, not the power of the flesh, but just the power of the Spirit is Him. Look at verse 15 and 16, and we'll close. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. In other words, he listened to God and did what Hagar said. This is what the Lord said to me. And Abram was 86 years old. He's 86 when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. As you notice, there is no wisdom in patience or impatience. So what do? Christian, don't be afraid of him if you start asking him for patience. Don't be afraid of it because he's going to be in control of it. But it'll be painful. But he is still in control. Our problem is we're not in control. That's why we're afraid of it. We want to control it. Because we want to be the self-righteous one. Look what I did. It is my faith. Oh, really? How many times has your faith just fell flat? And you call out to God, help. How many consequences do you have in your life because of impatience today? Where God can take it and turn it around? Well, stop being that impatient believer. And you will not be the one with those impatient excuses. And being so, you will avoid all those impatient results. Just be patient and let God do some things. Wait on Him. It's a good place to be. Isn't it? Man, we have a good God.